Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
We're going to dig into the Word of God, Genesis 6:14. And then we're going to 22 right after that. This is God talking to Noah. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. We're going to verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. We're going to 1 Peter 3:20. This is Peter talking about the same story many, many, many years later in the New Testament. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. I'm going to talk to you about this subject, the power of now. Or if you want a less sophisticated title, we're just going to call it the grind. Everyone can sit down if they'd like. If you'd like to stand up the whole time and feel totally awkward like me, that'd be fine too. Sometime we're going to do it the other way around. You guys are all just going to stand. I'm going to sit down. I've been doing this for a little while. I think I'm due. So, in fact, they give free water up here. They don't give you free water. Anyone thirsty? Oh, that was good. All right. The power of now. Let's go to Hebrews 3:13-15 right away. That's my next verse. I'm jumping that right there. Okay. But exhort one another daily while it is still called, or while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, again, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. This is talking about the children of Israel. So can we jump back? Can we jump back one verse again? Hebrews 3:14. We are made partakers of Christ. Now, understand the verses that surround this. That while it is still called today, we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And then go again, 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. John Gill, the commentator, points out that this language is drawn from Psalm 95:7. This is actually the writer of Hebrews quoting the psalmist in Psalm 95. And in that verse, John Gill lets us know that today really just means right now. If you today will hear his voice, harden not your heart. There's something powerful in God's kingdom about today, about right now, about the immediate. And God, he works in the present. He's always moving forward. There's always a progression. He's always pushing forward to the next thing. And I think it's easy for us to look back. It's easy for us to look forward, and you're just not living in the present. And I know that maybe that sounds like some kind of self-help speech or something. But understand what the nature of God. Today, if you'll hear his voice. Today, if you'll hear his voice. Sometimes we can be caught in a situation where we kind of live, Satan's day is tomorrow. Because Satan doesn't care about anything that you do tomorrow. You know, because he will tell you, he'll convince you, oh, you can commit your life tomorrow. You can pray tomorrow. You can reach out tomorrow. You can try and get a hold of that spiritual principle tomorrow. The things that you're reading in the Word that you need to apply to your life, you can do that tomorrow. It's fine. Tomorrow is good. We got any procrastinators? Anyone a procrastinator? I'm not, so I just want to cast some guilt upon you right now. You put that thing off, and it's 2 in the morning. Why are you doing that, man? You're supposed to put that project together, and you're working, it's the middle of the night. It's not going to turn out as good as it would have if you had planned. That has nothing to do with what I'm preaching. But I'm just saying, because I'm the psycho-organized guy, right? I divide it up into little pieces, and I'll do a little piece here, and then the next day I'll do a little piece. And it's got its own issues. It's got its own issues, because what happens is you go to preach a message on a Sunday, and you've got it all figured out. And then when you get to the day of, then God is like, you know, not really, though. No. You should have procrastinated on that, man. You had it too figured out. And so tomorrow can be Satan's day, though, because it's always, I can prepare tomorrow. I can kneel down to pray tomorrow. I can go to the altar next Sunday. Next Sunday. But God is saying, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. While it is still called today. And yet, there we see in the 14th verse that he's saying, but you need to remain steadfast. And so there's kind of a dual principle. There's a two-step thing going on here. Now, I grew up in the 1980s, and I know that would probably surprise some of you because I'm so well-preserved. So if you do the math on that, then that would mean that I'm no longer in my 20s, which, I mean, I know that surprises some of you. But I grew up in the 1980s, and that was the decade where we took right now too far. Because I can't wait till the 5 o'clock news, CNN. I need the story right now. That was us in the 1980s. Oh, no, I can't wait for you to make a good pizza, Domino's. 30 minutes or less, or it's free, and you better believe I got my stopwatch going as soon as I hang up this phone. You guys, half the people, they don't even know what I'm talking about, man. They were born in the new millennium. You guys don't know 30 minutes or it's free?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's like, all right, man, it's 5 o'clock. I called in for pizza. We're eating free tonight. Yeah. 30 minutes. Now, was that good pizza? Was that good pizza? No, man. No, you can't make a good pizza in 30 minutes and then drive it across town. We didn't care in the 1980s, man. We're like, hey, 30 minutes or it's free. We had microwaves. Microwaves exploded. You can look at the history of the microwave oven. And we needed our meals now because I'm going to the school cafeteria and they only have 2 microwaves and I'm going to be 10th in line. But that's okay because I got Hot Pockets. It's the greatest 3 notes ever devised since NBC, right? Yeah, that song, you can't get it out of your head. There's 2 words, 3 notes. Hot Pockets. I've got my barbecue beef Hot Pocket. No, I got my mac and cheese Hot Pocket. I got my Egg Foo Young Hot Pocket, man. It's ready to go. 2 minutes, man. Lunch break is about to end, man. I've got a 3rd-degree burns in my mouth. Save me a Hot Pocket. 1980s, man. Is this true? You don't know. No. You didn't grow up in the 1980s.
I was young
then. It had to be right now. Were Hot Pockets good? No, man, no. But it had to be right now. But yeah, I've been on the other side of that, where I've had examples in my life where I needed right now. Here we have all these conveniences, but there's times in my life where I needed Jesus now. I needed Jesus now. Your car is spinning out of control, and all of a sudden you yell out, Jesus! Jesus, save me! All of a sudden, it's a desperate prayer. Maybe I couldn't get as desperate as I needed to get at Sunday at the altar, but now I'm sliding on the ice, and I'm like, Jesus, Jesus, you got to save me. There's no time to wait. Your family's sick. I remember one time my son fell off the arm of the couch right onto the hearth of the fireplace, and he fell, and he just wasn't breathing. He just... And I could see him falling. I couldn't catch him. There's nothing. Have you ever had that situation? Your spouse, your kid, and you're just desperate. And you just say, Jesus, Jesus, I've got to have you. I've got to have you. But we have a right now God. It doesn't take him any time to respond. So I have a delay. You say something to me and I've got to think about it. I got to think it over and consider it. God doesn't have to do that. He's a right now God. He can respond immediately. And so when we read the examples in the scripture that talks about the woman with the issue of blood, She reaches out and touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and immediately she was healed. When we talk about examples in the Bible, this one maybe you hold on to, the Philippian jail. Paul and Silas, they're singing, they're worshiping, singing praises to God. The earth begins to shake, and immediately everyone's bonds were loosed. Peter and John, they go walk to the gate, beautiful, and they're walking by a lame man, and Peter grabs him by the hand and lifts him up. And what does the scripture say? Immediately, his feet and his ankle bones, they receive strength. There was no wait. There was no delay. And so a lot of times, we face situations in life where we have got to have Jesus right now. Has anyone ever had one of those situations?
Amen.
Anyone live in one of those situations right now? Amen. There's no wrong with confessing it. We're at church. Right now, I need you, Jesus. Right now, I don't have any other solutions. I don't have time to come up with the perfect words. I don't have time for the perfect prayer. But I've got to have Jesus, and I've got to have him right now. And that's why we're in church here, and we might say something like, if you can feel the presence of God, if you can feel the glory of God fall during worship, if you can feel the word of God touching your heart while the preaching is going forth, reach out and grab hold of that, because God is a God of right now. And I cannot explain to you exactly how God's presence or God's inspiration works. I just know that the scripture says that the wind blows, really essentially, if we're just going to translate it into modern English, the wind blows where it blows. No one really quite understands it, but you see the effects. You see the effects of the winds. You see it start to touch lives, and you see things. You look around the room on a Sunday, and you see lives change. You see lives impacted. And you realize, hey, wait a second, something's happening. What? He's different. Something's changing in his life. Something's impacted her life. That's the wind of the Holy Ghost. So if you feel that, if you're in a service on a Sunday, you feel that, reach out and take hold of it. God is a right now God. And sometimes when you sit around and you wait to respond to God, sometimes that moment, it passes by. And so when he's calling you, when he's reaching to you, when you feel like you need to reach out and worship, take advantage of that time because God is calling. I believe in the spontaneous and the immediate. We've got to pray for right now miracles. But I've got something I believe that's even greater than that. 1 Peter 3:20, we're going to go back there. Right here, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Think about what's being said here. Noah is one of the most amazing examples of persevering faith. He did what God needed him to do now in Genesis 6. It talks about that. We read that. Well, God spoke to Noah, and it says Noah went and he did everything that God commanded. Some of that work waited for a century to be put to the test. If you read the timeline of the Bible, it wouldn't have been ready if he hadn't have started now. When God called, it was important that Noah would start the work. And so if you really look at what this process might look like, in 1 Peter 3:20, it says that God's mercies waited. The mercy of God waited in the days of Noah. What did it wait for? For Noah, right? Okay. So let's put ourselves in the context of Peter's story. Or put ourselves, because I like to do that. I like to say, what would I do? What would I do if I was Noah, if I was praying, you know, one day and God said, Eli, you need to build a gigantic boat. What would you do? Yeah. What? What? No. But it took a man who drew those plants, who cut those trees. He planed the wood. He drilled the holes. It's going to take a young man, a young lady who's going to actually drive the nails, who's going to carry the lumber. Put yourself in that position. It's going to take somebody that acts now, that goes through the process. And I think it's very easy to say, well, that was, you know, he was called of God, because we look at people that have a calling of God on their lives and we say, well, you know, obviously God, you know, he had all the steps. It was all figured out and everything was kind of locked in. But really, I mean, who here has ever done some building in their life? Do some building? I did a remodel on my basement a couple years ago. It was an experience, man. Have you ever done like a remodel project and budgeted for that? Yeah. So how much more money? What, it was double the money that you planned, right? How the timeline? That was probably about twice as what you planned, right? I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. We're talking about Noah here. Do you think he ever cut a board too short? You think he ever got slivers in his hand? You ever think he ever threw out his back? Well, I mean, let's be real. This is a huge building project. We know that this happened. There is a human factor that is applied to this whole project. I think a lot of times it's easy to say, well, hey, you know, God called him to do that, and there was no ordinariness to it. There was no days where Noah got up in the morning and his back hurt. I mean, come on. Come on. He's got slivers in his hands. He's got bunions on his feet. He's stumbling through. He thought that he was going to finish the stalls yesterday, but as it ends up, he didn't even get started because he's so behind, and he couldn't get things figured out. He was trying to cut the beams. He cut it too short. He measured twice and cut once. He measured once and cut twice. We've all been through it. Well, anyone who's ever built anything has been through it. You know the situation. This is sometimes where we find ourselves. This is sometimes where we find ourselves, is where God has called us. God initially puts forth the call to us to walk toward him and asks us to try and begin this process of growth, this process of relationship. And then we get miles and miles down the road and it's like, well, I've got slivers all in my hands. I've got, you know, I haven't quite got where I wanted to yet. And I had these milestones that I thought that I was going to achieve. And yet, I didn't quite make it. And it's like, well, maybe he really didn't call me. Maybe he really didn't. I'm not talking about, you know, people that are going through terrible tragedy. I'm not talking about people that are just going through stuff that's nearly unbearable. I'm talking about just regular, everyday stuff. Just your life. God has his hand on your life. And it was really real when you felt him in the altar call. But then all of a sudden, now, I've got to grind this thing out. So many times I've found in my relationship with God, I don't know exactly what to do. God's answered my prayers many times, but then there's been a lot of times I've had to wait. A lot of times when God answered those prayers, all he did is he revealed that next small step. Just as simple as that direction in prayer, something that I need to give, something that I need to lay down, something that I need to share with someone else, just a witness that I can be to someone else just for that moment, just in that time, just in that right now. I want to say that God gave me every single step, but no, he gave me one step that I need to do. Oh, I need to pray today. I need to pray that I need to get in the word today. And so can you imagine being Noah's as we're talking 100 years in the process, right? And he's trying to make it all happen here. Okay, Hebrews 11 and 8. This gives us another thing. Another short story that we don't have time to read the whole story. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. So Abraham's packing up his stuff. Where are you going, Abraham? That way. God's, yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. I guess when I read the Bible story, I think that there was more certainty involved, but he's just following the voice of God. He's just following the voice of God, and who knows where he's going to end up. We know, right? We read the Bible. And so we see the entire process, but Abraham had to go, and he did not know. He did not know. Plus, we know that dudes never stop to ask for directions. And so they didn't have Waze on their phones. Yeah, so they, you know, this guy, he's just going, he has to go by faith. And so just like I think what is the book of Ecclesiastes said that, you know, that this time has come where man has made many inventions. You know, it's like we've got, you know, all this stuff that helps us out to do all this stuff all the way to get directions. Abraham didn't even have simple directions to where he was going. God didn't give him a big old map that it's going to be exactly like this. And yet he started walking. But those little steps, they add up. They add up to a trajectory. They add up to a direction. So your 401k, it isn't funded in one day. You start that when you're mid-20s or whatever, whenever you start your career, with a goal for when your Brother McMurphy's age, you know, that. You deserve that, man. You deserve that. With this goal, you're looking out on the horizon. You're looking out. I'm going to commit to it. I'm going to commit to it. I'm locking in now. I know that's 30, 40 years in the future, but I'm locking in now because we're going somewhere. The mercies of God waited in the days of Noah. For what? For Noah. Yeah. For Noah to cut the wood. For Noah to walk and carry the lumber in. For Noah to get slivers. For Noah to hurt his back. Yes, sir. For Noah to build the ark. For Noah to float away in safety. God was waiting for that. How many times have I said, man, there's nothing I can do about it? Look at the life of Paul. He wrote 13 books at least in the New Testament. 4 of them were written from prison. And you lock me in prison and be like, yeah, that's that. I guess, you know, I was doing a great thing for God. Man. Oh, well, man, I guess I'm trapped in here, and it's like, I guess, you know, all the progress I had, they just stopped. No, important things were written while he was in prison. And it's easy to be like, well, you know, economy's in the tank, and so I can't really give. I can't be all generous and stuff like that because, you know, it's like, who knows what's going to happen? There's so much uncertainty. And it's like, I wouldn't want to, like, give this money, then need it later. You know, what good is that? I got to be a good steward and everything. My life is so stressful, man. I can't be dedicated to the word. I just can't focus. I can't spend my time in the Bible because, oh, you know, well, you know, it's the Rona, man. And I just can't find time to pray. You know, it's just tough times. I just, man, there's always going to be excuses why it's not right now. Amen. Why the commitment isn't today. And yet we look at the life of Paul and they tell him, well, you're going to prison. He said, okay, can I have a pen? Like, oh, now think about this. In Acts 16, the one that we read at the beginning, Paul had already been sprung from prison once. Okay, so now we add another layer here. How would you feel? How would you feel? He's already gotten out of prison once. Now he goes back to prison. And you know, I'm just putting myself in the Bible story, like I said. It's like, okay, they're going to lock you up. And you're like, hey, all right, here we go. I know what's going to happen. I know what's, because God's got a plan. God's a miraculous God. God's a right now God. Watch this. Paul starts singing. Like, okay, okay. Here it comes. Here it comes right now. Right now, God. Right now. Oh, yeah. I'm feeling something right here. Okay, okay, okay. Days go by. Weeks. Okay. Maybe that's not in God's plan. Hey, guard, you have a piece of paper? because Paul had a greater vision about God's process and God's plan of what we sometimes do. And I want to get that spirit inside of me that I have got to submit to God's process. It cannot just be for when it's smooth or when it's easy. I want it to be, God, whatever it is, you show me this one small step. I'm going to take that step in faith and know that you're going to meet me there. I have one more witness, and he's live and in person, actually. I asked Brother Joe. He had some stories that he had told me. Come on up. He had some stories that he told me a couple years ago, and I'm like, it just kept coming to my mind about a persevering faith, about a staying faith, that he could hold on to Jesus, and how he learned through the process what it means to serve God. Go ahead, Brother Joe.
Thank you, Brother Eli, for saying the word persevere and submitting to the plan of God. How many know that's what it takes to live for God? Amen? I remember coming to God for the first time. I had been, let's just say, under the influence. And I came to an altar, and God sobered me when I prayed at an altar. Amen? But the story didn't end there, because I had to go back home to where those bottles were. I had to go back home to that environment, to the stresses, to everything that I was still living in at that moment, right? God did something at an altar. He did what he had to do, amen? But at some point, I had to do what I had to do. I had to get rid of some stuff. I had to set up some disciplines in my life. I had to get rid of some influences in my life, right? I had to make up my mind in the morning. I'm not going to take a drink. I'm not going to take a smoke. I'm going to start doing what got me set free initially, and that's to bow my knee at a Savior's feet. I'm going to learn how to pray. I didn't know how to pray. I barely knew how to talk. Amen? I didn't know all these scriptures to pray. I didn't have a suit. I didn't have any of the things that you find people had. All I had was guilt and condemnation. All I had was my mess ups and my past and my record. And all I had to do was bring all my broken pieces to God. And I didn't care what everybody else saw. I was going to a church where I was from a different neighborhood, and we wouldn't get God along. We wouldn't have got along in that church, but I said, you know what? This ain't about me and them. This is about me and God. If I'm going to get better, I got to take my eyes off people, and I got to keep them on God, because these people are people. They're going to fail me. People have failed me my entire life. I got to trust a God who I don't even know. And I'll tell you this much, and I dare you to trust a God that you don't even know yet, because you haven't submitted some things to him. But if I can tell you this, mowing lawns and trimming trees and doing every odd job that I can pick up didn't pay the bills. And I'm worrying and stressing because I have a family looking to me to provide. And if I can't do that, I feel like a weak man. I feel like I'm useless if I can't provide. So I'm stressing. What do I do? Do I go back and do I start robbing? Do I start stealing? Do I start taking stuff to make ends meet? Or do I do this crazy stuff that they're talking about? Giving to God, tithing to God, giving up my first. How does that even work? I don't even understand that. But there's a principle, and I see these people's lives. Man, I'm going to try, because I'm just dumb enough to try anything right now. And I come to an altar and I said, God, you said you would never leave me. God, you said you are my provider. I even read where it said, you're Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the meter of my needs. You are not a liar, God. This is how I prayed. I was just dumb enough to accuse God and hold him to his word. You said you would never leave me. I need you right now. I need you to provide. And I kid you not, there's no joke. You can ask my wife. People knocking on our door saying, here's some food. Here's this. Here's a gift card. Here, let me pay this bill for you. And it started flooding in from all kinds of different ways. Because I learned to put my eyes on Jesus Christ, not rely on people, not rely on my own strength, not rely on my own power. I looked to Jesus Christ and I trusted his word. Amen. There was a moment where I was in an accident. Someone pulled in front of me and I slammed on the brakes and we hit the car. Their fault. But it was going to cost me my job. I get a ticket for reckless driving. Cost me my job. 600. I don't have 600 bucks. I take that ticket and I put it on the altar. It was right about here. I left it there and I walked away and said, God, no, I can't do this. This is yours. I can't do this. I worshiped God and I sat down and said, that's yours, God. I don't know what happened. Hopefully it got thrown away. But I'll tell you this, that was a Sunday. On Monday, our lawyer called and said, hey, I had a golf match with the judge who's doing your case. And he said, hey, that case that you're having tomorrow at noon, it's this and this and this. And the judge says, yeah, don't worry about it. The cop's not going to show up, so we're just going to throw it out. And I'll tell you this, my God took care of that because he's my advocate and my defender. He's my lawyer. He's the meter of my need. Amen. Does somebody hear me today? I want to let somebody know the pain in your body. When I was laying down on a concrete dirty floor, writhing in pain because kidney stones suck. And I'm laying there on the dirt floor at work, not knowing what to do. Nobody around. I love you people. And this is a healthy place to heal and to grow. Amen. And I love each and every one of you that are here. My wife, my kids, they're so supportive and they love me so much. But in that moment, none of you were there. My pastor wasn't there. None of you people were there. And I love you. And I say that from the depths of my heart. I love you and I love my pastor. But nobody was there on that dirty floor. It was me and my pain. And I didn't call on the phone. I didn't call and say, hey, Brother Mike, I need you to pray for me. Hey, Brother Martin, please come down here. Lay hands on me. Bring the oil. No, I cried out to Jesus Christ. I cried out to the maker of this broken body with all of its cracks, all of its flaws, all of its wants and needs. Whatever you see here today, standing in front of you, this is all rags compared to what he sees me in. Amen. He has a spirit that's on me. He has a spirit that he put in me. And that spirit is here today for you. If you're willing to do what you need to do and get up out of your seat and cry out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you know your need. Amen. You know your need. You know that thing that you're too scared to tell somebody else about. You know what that is that nobody else knows about your past that you haven't told anybody about. But God is just waiting, saying, come here, daughter. Come here, son. I want to hear from you. I want you to release that into my hands so I can take it and nail it to a cross so that you can be free. So I can take you through the waters of baptism and let you walk in freedom and liberty. Amen, somebody. Does this make any sense? We have a God who's the meter of your need, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it is, it's here for you today, amen? If you would just reach out and grab hold of the throne of God and say, God, you are the meter of my need. I'm going to stick through this regardless of what they see. They see the old me, but I don't care. They see me fall, but I don't see them because I'm falling forward. I'm marching forward. I'm persevering. I know it hurts right now. I know it's tight, but I'm still going to give to you. I'm still going to pray for the lost. I know I have my own needs, but I'm going to pray for you and your need. Amen, somebody. When we make up that mindset that this is not about me and my physical plane, this is about God and them reaching souls, some things just get put down lower. When we see our things, when we see our needs, they're shadowed by the presence of Almighty God. Amen. When we decide to make up in our mind, I'm not going to care what these people say. I'm not going to care who's here and who's not here, who didn't see me, who supported me, who shook my hand, who was there to lay their hands on me. If so-and-so lays hands on me, then I can be healed. Amen. If I give in the right bank, if I get the right Bible, if I get the right this, if I make the right friend, if I wear the stupid tie, none of that matters to God. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your mind, your spirit. He wants you to say, put all those things aside. Lay aside every way that easily sets you. It's usually these other people's perceptions. Amen. If we could put those under the blood and keep our eyes on Jesus. My God, Martin, come here real quick. I want to make an example. Pray at the altar. Now tell me who's pointing at you. Somebody point at him. Who's pointing at you right now? That's right. Do you know why? Go ahead. Thank you. You have a seat. You know why he couldn't see? Because his eyes were bowed down to the King of Kings. If we can make it up in our minds that I'm going to put my face at the feet of Jesus, that's the only thing that matters. This is always a safe place. The altar is always a safe place. Amen. No matter the games that are going on outside in the foyer, if they're talking out there, if they're playing out there, they're doing this and doing that. This is the place that matters. This is where miracles happen, people. Amen. This is the place when my back out, my disc was slipped. Amen. A pinched nerve, numb leg, and it was going on weeks. And how many know when it's like that, you can't sit down? So you got to stand. That's why you just preach. Amen. And if you can learn to just stand and deal with it, You can get through it. But there was a time where I went to a service and the man of God said, pray for the person next to you. He said, pray for the person next to you. I don't know, dude. But dude came up to me and he didn't do the shoulder thing. He put it right on my back. That's not a man thing. That was a God thing. And that still didn't convince me. That didn't convince me because my back still hurt. You know what really did it is when I decided, you know what? My pastor's up there praying, and the man of God said, come up and pray for your pastor. And there was a group of people around him, and all I could do to reach my pastor was to get down on my hands and my knees and to reach as far as I could. And reaching and praying for my pastor, I stood back up whole. I did not have a bulge disc anymore. I did not have any pain anymore in this body. And I stand here today, not only healed, not only set free, but full of the Holy Ghost to declare in the face of the devil that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen. It will be formed. It will be launched right at you. It is made for you, but I want to encourage you today, it will not prosper. So why don't we rise up and start declaring the things as they are and start walking in faith and start living in faith and start practicing this stuff that we talk about. Somebody give praise and glory to an almighty God. In Jesus' name.
If we could all stand, if we could all stand right now. Now listen. I want to say this and be very clear about what we're saying here. I'm so glad for everyone that comes every time they come. God is not looking for you to have a relationship with him that lasts 3 months, that lasts 6 months. He's not looking for a flash in the pan. He's not looking for a person who comes to a powerful prayer meeting, a powerful worship service, and they have an experience. I thank God for every experience. But he wants a relationship with you that lasts years. But it's going to take you committing yourself to the grind. I'm going to get up. These miracles wouldn't have happened in Brother Joe's life if he wouldn't have decided to just live it, to live it day by day. And I'm telling you right now, if you'll commit yourself, God's going to do amazing things in your life. But if it's only an experience you're chasing after, you're cheating yourself out of the miracles that he's going to do in you and through you in the future. It's going to happen. God has already set it in place. The steps are there. The plans have been drawn. The pieces are there. And you just got to drive the nails. Sometimes you just have to kick it into gear and make it happen. So what we're asking this morning, I'm asking that everyone who can will come up. And we're just going to have some music. And if you haven't already, commit yourself to the process. If you've already done it, come up and recommit yourself to the process. God has something for every single one of you. Can we come? Can we come now? Jesus, Jesus, God, I believe, Jesus, that you can and that you have the ability, oh God, to make something out of nothing, God. What little steps that I can take, oh God. What little things that I can do, God. What little steps in the process that I know right now. God, I'm asking that you give me the faith. God, I'm asking that you would give me the faith, Jesus, to be able to walk out what you're calling me to do, Jesus. Lord, because you have greater plans. You have things that are bigger. You have things that are further. So Jesus, we are here today saying, I commit to it. I'm locking into it. I'm buying in and I'm selling out. God, believing, Jesus, that you are, that you will, that you're going to do it, that you're going to show me that next step. If I don't know it, God, you're going to give me direction. God, if you don't give me direction, then the last thing you told me to do, I'm staying right there in your will. I'm grasping hold of it. I'm getting a hold of it because, God, you have a plan and you're taking me places. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.